Support for this episode is brought to you by SipTequila.com. Looking to purchase some Insolito tequila and have it shipped direct to your door? Sip has you covered. Right now, you can purchase their Blanco, Repo, Añejo bundle for $155. No need to drive around town looking for it. With just a few clicks, it will arrive at your door a few days later. That's SipTequila.com. Premium brands shipped direct to your door. What does it take to start a tequila brand? Not just start, but grow. My guest today has done just that. From the inception of Insolito Tequila to building a team around the U.S., Insolito is making some serious noise in the tequila space. We're going to talk about their growth and sip on the latest offering from their incredible lineup on this episode of the Agave Social Club Podcast, hosted by me, Doug Price. Welcome to the show. This is the Agave Social Club Podcast. I'm your host, Doug Price. My guest today is Pete Kelly, the founder and CEO of Insolito Tequila. Pete, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Doug. Always great to connect with you.
Pete, you were last on back in 2022, and the brand has seen incredible growth over the past year and a half. And there's some exciting things in the near future for Insolito. Before we get into all of that, I want to start with looking at the growth of Insolito. Tequila Matchmaker, they recently came out saying that last year, 316 new brands hit the market, which was a record number compared to 186 the year before. So in the past 2 years, 500 new brands have hit the market. Now, some of these brands are most likely smaller Mexican-only brands, maybe created for smaller reasons. But by and large, if you create a brand, you want to see growth and have success. But you and I know that of those 500 brands, not all of them are going to have long-term success. With Insolito, it seems like you guys continue to grow in open markets, and you've shown long-term staying power. How has that growth been since you were last on the show, which was October 2022? And what has been the market and growth strategy over the past few years that have enabled you to continue to grow?
Well, we've been fortunate. I like the timing that we got into the market.
Yeah.
We launched in 2020. You know, when we last spoke, I think we were in 12 or 13 markets. We're now in 31 states, two countries, Australia and South Africa. Quite honestly, we have a growth plan. We have a great partner with Southern Glaciers. You know, they've got give us access to multiple markets, so we're not out there trying to source a distributor, you know, in markets where they're in. So our plan with them is really we're going to expand our footprint as we're ready, as we have enough inventory, and as we see opportunities in key markets. So part of that is also having the ability to grow your sales team too. Like, it's really hard to open a new market and not have anybody go out and touch that market for 3, 4, 5, 6 months. So, you know, growing our sales team in conjunction with the growth of our footprint has been key to our success.
Has there been, you know, growing pains over the years? You know, I'm sure just growing a brand, you've got to plan. I'm sure you're, you know, meeting with the distillery and going, hey, this year we're projecting, so we're going to need, you know, more bottles, increased production of tequila, more barrels, and things like that. Has that been over the years been tough to kind of gauge, or you've kind of seen, hey, this is what we need? But, you know, again, you guys have had some pretty explosive growth.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When you look at what happened during COVID, you know, we were only in a couple markets, but I don't think anybody really nailed the forecast for those couple years, you know, COVID and coming out of there. But, you know, we were fortunate where we didn't get cut off from glass. It was close. We were really close. Our decoration was pretty stable as far as production. So we and cardboard and all the other things, components that are necessary. We kind of weathered the storm there. And in the middle of COVID, we kind of saw what was happening. And we put some serious dollars down on a couple hundred thousand units of bottles and just trying to get out in front of it. So from that perspective, supply chain stuff, like we were good, and we've got a really nice runway. Now we're just trying to put as much tequila in the barrel as we can, because it's our growth is, you know, we're forecasting almost 100% growth for 24. So we'll see if we can make that happen.
And I'm sure, you know, around COVID, I mean, a lot of people were buying online, and you guys do have the availability to purchase online. But now, as people are spending more time on premise, going to liquor stores, you know, you said you're just expanding, trying to expand team. What is that process like to go, hey, we're in this market, or we want to hire a rep to go into a market? What goes into that? Because I see a lot of brands, I mean, even here in Florida, we've got a great market. And I even just had an event where they, as a nonprofit, said, hey, I'm looking to partner with a tequila group to come be the sponsor of this event as a Down Syndrome's event. And I started thinking, I don't know too many brands that have a rep right, you know, right here that I can reach out to. There are a few, but what does that look like for you guys as you are growing your team throughout the U.S.?
So we start off with a regional structure where we've got regional sales managers overseeing four or five states at a time.
Okay.
And then we kind of, from there, once we had that structure in place, we started to really fill in the gaps. And we've got a really robust ambassador program that we've started rolling out at the end of 23, early 24,
okay,
which is really a part-time position. And it's really geared more for the on-premise. It's to hone in those 20, 30 accounts in a market, in the Tampa market, for example, where we really want to grow our business. And, you know, it's menu features, it's being in the account, it's telling the story, it's staff training,
it's educating, all those things. Educating them to go out and to share the story.
It's education. And what we've seen is there's not a great, our industry doesn't do a great job of transitioning folks from one side of the bar to a career in beverage alcohol. And our ambassador program is really the first step in that process with training and opportunities for folks. And, you know, we've got 7 or 8 ambassadors right now. We'll probably double that in the next year, 18 months.
Do you say that you don't think the industry has maybe done as great of a job because you meet bartenders that go, man, because I do know bartenders that go, man, long-term, I would love to get a job for a brand. I mean, they're passionate about it. They know the process, but are you seeing out there that you see bartenders that want to make that leap and they just haven't had the opportunity to do so?
Absolutely. There's just not there's not a clear roadmap for them on how to do it, because especially if they've operated as a buyer,
yeah,
you know, that's great. You know, even to some extent, a beverage manager or a buyer and they're bartending, you know, they have a really good perspective of the potential people they would be selling to in the position of ambassador or the people they would be programming an account with. And just in general, I don't think our industry has done a really good job of creating that next step, that transition for them. So we've been trying to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got senior people on our team that, you know, have put together really robust training programs. And there's a lot of handholding that goes in that position too, because at some point these people, you know, we may hire an ambassador to market. We may not have a full-time person in that market. So they're kind of, once they get through training, they're kind of on their own to go make it happen.
Yeah.
And that's, for the right person, that's a great opportunity because there's plenty of incentives for them too.
Yeah, but I can see where some people need need a roadmap. They need some help.
Right.
You know, going, hey, I want to transition. You know, maybe I've been to Mexico, I've been to the distillery, and I'm all in, and I love the brand, and I believe in it. But they may need a little extra help to just kind of get them on that journey. So maybe 2024. I know you guys have a lot going on, but continuing to give opportunity for people to continue to share the Insolito story. You mentioned that Southern Glazers. I know that you've got a great partnership with them. You are part of their craft collection, luxury spirits division. Or are they, I mean, they're a big brand. They pretty much hit every market. That's been a good experience for you guys.
It has, you know, the capabilities that Southern has is second to none. You know, our challenge, like any small brand and a big distributor, is trying to get that share of mind, share of voice from their sales team.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a daily challenge that our sales folks face. But, you know, the more credibility that we get in the market and the more organic growth we have with our team out on the streets every day, the more support we get from our distributors, Southern Glazers and the independent guys we work with. So it's, you know, it's truly one of those things where you have to push that rock up the hill.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're starting to get more and more support from them, which is great.
I would imagine. I mean, if you've got they're large group, they've got probably large portfolios. And so for you guys to say, hey, make time for us, let us get you as excited about our product. That's what you're talking about. I mean, if you've got a rep who's got, you know, let's say 20 different spirits that they're speaking to stores and restaurants and things like that, I'm sure cutting through all of those for you guys, that can sometimes be difficult.
It is. And the thing that we've got to do, that we try and do, is train that distributor sales force on why our product is different.
Yeah.
I did this exercise in a market a few weeks ago where we looked at their whole portfolio of tequilas, which honestly was like over 60, you know.
Yeah.
And so we're fighting for share of mind with those other brands. Then we said, okay, how many of these are additive free? There was five.
Okay.
And then we looked at additive free within our price point, and we were really the only price point of additive free tequilas in their portfolio. But that was the exercise we had to do to really show them, like, this is the lane you could play in. This is how to sell this to a retailer. So it's, you know, like anything, it's been a process.
And Solito means rare, unusual. You guys, you made the decision early on that you wanted to have somewhat of a celebrity influence with your brand. And so you partnered with Midland. And so for Solito, you know, that is rare. It's rare to have a quote unquote celebrity brand that's also made really well. It's additive free. I mean, this is great quality tequila. How do you think that they've impacted their fans by getting to introduce, I mean, to introduce a whole new market of their fans to high quality additive free tequila?
You know, we do, first of all, Midland, they're great partners. They're equity partners of ours. And I don't really consider them to be a celebrity brand. No, and it's not anything against that word celebrity, but the value that Cam, Mark, and Jess really bring and their management team is really their creativity and their connections and resources in the marketplace. Now, we do, you know, things like bottle signings, and these guys play, you know, 80 to 100 shows a year, and we get tickets and we leverage those with, you know, distributor sales force and retailers and consumers. There's some cool stuff I'll tell you about we're doing in 24, but you know, their value is significant, giving us a voice. And where I see it is, if we're out doing a bottle signing and their fans are there, we may be at a Specs in Texas, you know, doing a bottle signing with Midland before a show, and there's 200 people there to get an autographed bottle. Many of this consumer base are new to tequila, and they're experiencing our category kind of for the first time because of the connection with the band. And that's pretty awesome.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would imagine them allowing them to taste something different, to go, hey, we're used to tequila being this. And I'm not sure with, you know, they're doing a lot of concerts. I don't know if they've been able to work opportunities to where Solito is the tequila at some of these shows. I'm sure they're working that in, because I've been to concerts. I've been to sporting events. I was recently at the Pro Bowl, and what I saw for tequila was something that I would not rub on a wound. And so to have the opportunity to go, hey, we're actually getting to introduce you to good quality tequila, something that they're a part of, they believe in, but it's actually made really well and tastes great. And also, you know, at these venues to be able to have a great cocktail or something to sip on while you're seeing the show. I'm sure that's been a great experience for them, and just to connect with their audience at that level.
Absolutely. I mean, and they're great brand ambassadors for us, and they open up doors for us and find opportunities. And we got a really cool event we're doing in 2024 in Waco. It's called Landlocked, and we're partnered with an event there. We're basically the one of the main sponsors, but it's a combination of surfing competition at Waco Surf Park and Music Fest for 3 days over Cinco de Mayo. And, you know, we're the only tequila there, and Midland's the headline in the show. So it's a great opportunity for us to build something rare and uncommon, you know, as far as an experience.
Yeah.
In Texas, which is our biggest market. So yeah, overall, it's been a really good partnership.
I love it. Great, great synergy. And Solito, I know this started around 2018, 2019. You said you launched 2020. You know, so we're coming up. I mean, this has been a long time to get here. You guys are not brand new. You've been in the market for many years. Tell me, remind anybody that listened to the first episode, why was it that you wanted to start a tequila brand?
Well, part of it was, you know, I spent most of my, I've always been an entrepreneur. I spent most of my early career in a marketing role with a variety of agencies working on behalf of alcohol clients,
yeah,
beer, wine, spirits. And, you know, one thing I saw, I saw a couple big companies go through, you know, internal innovation, launching new products, and they were just really, really poorly put together from a brand perspective, from a packaging perspective, from a quality of the liquid. And, you know, I thought to myself, my gosh, there's a better way. And these were companies with millions and millions of dollars behind launches. And I mean, it's no secret that the big guys kind of have a hard time with innovation. So I really wanted to take everything I learned through that process and go out on my own and do it. I will tell you, we haven't done everything right, but we haven't made any of the major mistakes along the way either. Yeah. So that was really the inspiration behind it for me from a business perspective, taking something that I knew something about, not everything for sure, and trying to do it the right way. And to your point, like, it takes time.
Yeah.
I mean, we developed this for 3.5 years before we even sold a bottle. So you got to be patient. You got to be willing to do it right. And that really goes hand in hand with our growth strategy too. We're not trying to be everywhere to everyone. There's a ton of tequilas out there, and they're made differently, and they have a market.
Yeah.
And we're not trying to be the market for everyone. That's just not us.
Yeah, I agree. And I've got brands that I see that are hitting a certain price point, or they're going after a luxury market, quote unquote. And I have people that respond and go, oh, well, why would I drink that when I can? And I go, hey, that's not for you. Like, to understand that it's still a great quality product, but it's going after a different market that isn't our market. I mean, in a lot of what I do, a lot of the listeners, amazing listeners here of the show, but they're aficionados. I mean, they're people that really love great quality tequila. And I think sometimes they lose sight that there's a much larger landscape of people that are buying tequila, and they just don't know. They may not be educated on what great quality tequila is. So I agree with them. I mean, there's a price point for every market. There's, tequila. I mean, I a lot of times people with different expressions, different types of tequilas, I don't understand why they make that. And I go, well, because there's a market that, just because it's not for me or not for you, doesn't mean that it's not selling and that it's not, a market for it. You talked about the big brands and innovation. You know, when you have all the resources, And you've got, do they just kind of fall into that rut of trying to do what's been done for many years and strike, lightning again, or they're just not really creative, or, cause you guys as a smaller brand to be able to do what you want to do, to pivot, to get creative. I mean, your marketing's great. There's a lot of creativity there that if you're at a much larger, holding company, you may not have that opportunity, but do you feel like, you've seen in the past through different experiences, you've seen some of these companies that they're just not able to get as creative, or they're just kind of stuck in the rut of trying to do what's been done for the past, 20, 30 years?
I think it's the big company, maybe constraints and maybe lack of, and I'm not knocking them. It's just, yeah. I think it is what it is. That's why big companies go out and buy small companies, right? I mean, they know they don't do it well. It might be more of a lack of creativity. I mean, when we started developing in Solito, it was a blank canvas. It was, okay, we want to get into the tequila business. What does it look like? And it was a lot of discovery along the way on our end. And again, like I said, it was three and a half years before we even sold our first bottle. I don't know that maybe some of the big guys have the patience to wait that long. You know what I mean? I think they're probably more get it funded, get it out on the market and see what happens. And hey, if it works, great. If it's not, they'll take a loss and move on. I didn't really have that opportunity. this had to work.
Yeah. Time is money. A lot of times they go, hey, to be able to invest in something long-term and to see, hey, there's a finish line. We're just not there yet. And you guys have played that out well. You know, we talked about so many brands, new brands, and you said that you feel that you guys, you hit the market at a good time. What would be some advice for, maybe some of these 500 new brands that are hitting the market as you guys have come into it and you've done it well? I've talked with other owners that have been in the market, and they said, if I were to try to do this today, I don't know if I would do it. I don't know if I could get it done like I did years ago. But for you, what any advice for any of these newer brands or anybody at home listening going, hey, I think I may want to start a tequila company?
Well, it's like building a house. It's going to take you twice as long and cost you twice as much money. And I say that tongue in cheek, but it is true. Like, even you just look at building something within the three-tiered system, like, as a brand owner, you don't have a lot of control over some of these variables.
Yeah.
Like, when your cola gets approved, when the state level stuff gets approved, when you get a distributor in a market that you want to be in. I got to be honest with you. When we launched, I had two of the three big distributors turn me down. And that set us back, 6-8 months. You got to be willing to hear no a lot. And sometimes no just means not now, you know, and then you just pick it up and go talk to the next guy. But it's a marathon. It's funny. It's not a marathon. It's a series of 10,000 100-yard dashes. That's what building a brand is in the spirits business.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of things, like you said, outside of your control. And I hear that all the time. You know, we thought we were ready to launch. You know, I've had even brands that are newer that are in line to be on the show. And over the years, I've had to shift schedules around because they said, man, we thought we would have it. And then, you know, something with the CRT, we didn't get something approved, or we had to redo something with the label or bottles and things like that. So I'm sure a lot that are outside of your control when you're excited to get a brand out there and share it with people.
Yeah, I didn't even talk about like the challenges of doing business in another country. You know, that has its own, you know, they do different, you know, business differently sometimes. And then you got their approval processes.
Yeah.
And we're very fortunate with Alberto and Octavio. They're great communicators. You know, we have ongoing dialogue on the business. I'm down there, you know, whatever, five times a year at least. So They do take some of that pain out of the pipeline for us.
We saw massive sales with tequila throughout the pandemic, and we talked a little bit about that. And even outside of it, you know, years since, we've seen tequila is just continuing to be hot. We are starting to see a little bit of a slowdown with sales. I mean, not much, but we are starting to see a little bit at tequila as a whole, just a little slowdown. Agave prices have dropped. It seems like there is an abundance of agave. I was just out there a few weeks ago, and everywhere you look, you see, I mean, people, they see the value of it. So they're planting agaves, and I've seen Tequila Matchmaker put out some things talking about, you know, the amount of agaves that are available. So that does impact prices. Is this just the market correcting, or, you know, it's been a few crazy years, or what do you guys make of that as a brand owner, as you're, you know, forecasting and looking at things to plan for what the budget is for next year and so on? How much do you guys look at that and go, hey, we've got to pivot and see what's going on in the market?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things going on here. Spirits as a category has generally grown like 2 or 3% every year. Tequila was growing at 6 or 7, I think. So, you know, totally outpacing, you know, RTDs and American bourbon, you know, those are the top three categories. Our growth was about 30% last year.
Okay.
But again, we're going from a very small base. So we expect that growth. I think 2023 was a correction. I think it was back a little bit back to reality. I think you're also seeing consumer spending come back in check a little bit from COVID. And I think we're going to see this through the first quarter of 2024. And then I believe second, third, fourth quarter, things are going to open up a little bit. There was a little pullback from premiumization. And I think that was honestly part of the correction as well. I don't see that being a long-term issue with our in our space. I like where our price point is, considering all of the nice brand story components, meaning like if you look at where compare us to other additive free brands, you know, and there's a lot of great ones out there, we're priced pretty in a nice spot.
Yeah, you guys are priced. I mean, the entire lineup for the quality is priced really, really well. And it's easy as people are coming into the category, as people ask me all the time and ask other people on social media, hey, what brands should we... One, you've got distribution, and so it's easy to find. And two, it's easy to go, hey, buy this bottle that, you know, is not going to cost you an arm and a leg. We've seen prices go up, and that's for many reasons. And again, there's a market for every price point, and there's so many amazing brands out there. But you guys have done a really great job with the price point. And Solito, this is coming out of NOM 1558 Premium de Jalisco. This is high up in the Sierra del Tigre Mountains. Not a lot of brands coming out of that distillery. And I would imagine that you guys are probably taking the bulk of that production. Tell me a little bit about what makes this distillery so special.
Well, I guess the first part is when we started, when I first met Alberto, who's the master distiller, and his brother Octavio, they really bought into what we were trying to do. And this is, I first met them back in 2017 when I was going down to Guadalajara looking for distilleries to partner with. It was an education process for me.
Yeah.
But one thing I knew, I didn't want to work with a distillery that was pumping out a you know, 40, 50 different brands.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't feel that was what we were trying to accomplish. And then when we kind of rolled up our sleeves and they were open to saying, okay, what do you want to create here, Pete? And for me, it was like, okay, let's start tasting some stuff. Let's figure out what we like and what we don't like. So that was a big part of the process. And then it's just a cool place. I mean, the drive out there, you know, you're 2.5 hours south of Guadalajara. You're going up in the Sierra del Tigre Mountains. Mazamitla's this beautiful little historic town that looks like it has, you know, things haven't changed there in 40 or 50 years. It's a really nice place. And then the distillery itself, I would say it's simple. It's not massive, but their process is unbelievable. And everything they do is a little bit slower and a little bit more meticulous, even though they do have some modern, you know, equipment that they work with in their process. Alberto is an engineer by trade. He designed the whole distillation and fermentation and autoclaves and everything. He designed it themselves, and it was really custom made for them. So there were a lot of components that went into the fact that we wanted to work with them. But the most important thing was it was just really good tequila.
Those brothers, I mean, they own that distillery, and that family's been involved in tequila for many years, correct? I mean, even generationally?
Yeah, their father started it. He was an attorney by trade representing agave farmers, and he started the distillery. And then Alberto and Octavio were kind of doing their own thing. One was a lawyer, one was an engineer. And then they kind of got more interested in the business over time and started taking it over and running it.
You've had your core lineup of Blanco, Repo, and Añejo. I'm a huge fan of all of these. For anybody that's new to Insolito, briefly walk us through the production process. So again, we're talking about this elevation. There's some things with this distillery that automatically make it stand out. But walk us through a little bit with the production process for your core lineup.
Starting off with the agave, we're a blend of highland and lowland agave. So that's kind of what we landed on.
And was that through trial? Was that Alberto like, hey, let's try this?
It's about 2 years, 2.5 years of playing around with stuff and figuring out what we liked. So, you know, the Reposado and Añejo are aged in new American oak barrels with a number two char. They get a lot of flavor. The climate up there is also something that's very interesting. You've got very hot days and cooler nights.
Yeah.
So has some interesting effect on the liquid in the barrel. And then, you know, again, the distillation process, the fermentation, everything they do is kind of purposeful, but in general, it takes a little bit longer than most of the other distilleries. They've got fresh water well on site. You know, the autoclave ovens are really unique, custom made, and they cook to temperature, not to pressure. You know, Alberto is the magician behind the scenes on all this stuff, and he could certainly do it justice much more than I can, but the result is a really nice, approachable tequila.
Yeah, and I mean, those autoclaves, those are going to give an atmospheric pressure similar to what a brick oven would do, opposed to just a standard high-pressure autoclave. You guys, you know, like you said, you've got agaves coming from a blend from both regions. We've got open-air fermentation. I'm sure that climate, the weather there all comes into play, that altitude with fermentation. And then going through with your distillation, this Blanco is delicious for $40 to $45. I mean, again, we talk about this price point and we talk about people that are continuing to come to me and say, man, tequila is getting so outrageous with prices. And sure, there are some outliers where, you know, I'm seeing even some brand new brands that are coming out with a, you know, $120 Blanco. And I go, guys, we've got to figure this out. We've got to figure this out. But for you guys to have an option for somebody that is getting in for $40, $45, I mean, this is clean. This is crisp. I would sip on this, but I'm sure this makes a pretty great cocktail at a Midland concert, correct?
Absolutely. You know, the Añejo is my favorite, but I've actually started to gravitate a little more sipping on the Blanco just straight. I enjoy it. It's really nice. And I'll tell you what, before we got into this, you know, you run your forecast of what you think you're going to sell by per varietal. We almost sold as much Reposado last year as we did Blanco.
Oh, wow.
Which was I think there's a couple things going on in the category. One, consumers are getting more educated, right, about the aged products.
Yeah.
And mixologists and bartenders are making more cocktails with Reposado than just the Blanco. So that's changing as well. Yeah, that's interesting thing about our sales and by varietal.
You said for the aged expressions, you've got new barrels. Well, why did you guys decide to go? These are American oak. They do a lightly charred, level 2 char. But why did you decide to go with brand new barrels?
It's just a consistency thing for us. You know, when you're getting a used whiskey or bourbon barrel, you know, sometimes you really don't know how many times it's been used and what's been in rotation. So for us, it was more consistent flavor over time, easier to manage when you're starting with a kind of virgin barrel and know how many times it's been used and what month we put product in the barrel, because that all really has an impact on the end flavor profile.
And then Reposado, as we get into aging, Reposado Añejo, Reposado is aged, is that 6 to 10 months that you guys, again, I know environment, all of that comes into play.
You got it.
And you guys are aging to taste, that you guys are all coming together, go, hey, this one's ready. Let's go ahead and pull that.
Exactly.
Yeah. This repo, we get a lot of great barrel contributions here. I mean, this is not oaked out. There's agave, but you know, having these barrels that do have life to give, man, this creates, I mean, like you said, people are starting to use this more in cocktails. I mean, there's a natural sweetness that is kind of through the DNA of the repo on the Añejo. And you said the Añejo is probably the one you sip the most. I would agree with that. This Añejo, I think, is delicious. But that Reposado, there's just a little bit of that natural sweetness. Again, this is all clean, additive-free, going 6 to 10 months in the barrel. And I could see, I mean, in a margarita, this would be amazing, but you could even start to use this in some other cocktails like the Old Fashioned or Manhattan, just like I use those with the Añejo, but the Reposado, it would play well also.
Absolutely. I think the Reposado has grown as new consumers come in the category.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not used to drinking an aged product, it's just a really good starting point for a high quality additive free, whether you're making a cocktail or you're sipping it.
Yeah. No, 100% agree. And then, you know, like I said, this Añejo, this is honestly probably one of my most recommended Añejos. I mean, it really is. I love using this. I mentioned, you know, Old Fashions, Manhattans, or just sipping on it. This is going to be a range as well, somewhere in that 18 to 24 months in those lightly charred barrels.
Exactly. And again, we're seeing, again, it's a great sipper, also great in a cocktail. We've got dozens of Añejo cocktails that we, espresso martini, you know, obviously is no secret that's a pretty hot drink right now, but yeah. That's one that we love to play around with.
Yeah, this Añejo, just like the Repo, this natural sweetness, there's a little caramel comes through for me. I mean, this is additive-free, nothing's being added to this. And I've got the strong audience of incredible tequila aficionados, but I also have, you know, from a social media standpoint, I've got, you know, 100,000 followers that they may not know about great quality tequila. And a lot of them, myself included at one point, everyone's on a tequila journey. And so a lot of times they will, you know, they'll buy bottles based off of price point, or they'll buy bottles based off of bottle presentation, or buy just based off of, you know, the marketing strategy of a big brand that has commercials everywhere, or the celebrity aspect saying, hey, it's cool to sip this. And people all the time reach out to me, go, well, if I shouldn't be drinking this, what should I be drinking? That's something that's going to have some deep flavors. And this Añejo, that's $60, $65. I mean, such an incredible value for this Añejo. This is one that I'm always going, hey, try this and let me see what you think of it, because you know you're going to get that story of authentic tequila, but that barrel contribution is going to come through and people go, whoa, this is unlike anything that I've tasted. What has been the response to people as they've tried this Añejo?
We've actually converted a lot of bourbon and whiskey drinkers to our Añejo. Just give it, it does, you know, it does have a lot of flavor from the barrel, but and I used to be a bourbon drinker too. I actually like the lower alcohol content of a 80 proof Añejo. So, you know, the feedback we've gotten obviously has been strong. You know, I think there's a little spice to that Añejo that I always get that I really like.
Yeah.
It's not overly spicy, but it's almost like a little cinnamon. But again, yeah, the response has been solid.
So that's been your core lineup. And you guys are getting ready to launch something brand new. I've got it in front of me. What can we expect to see very soon from Insólito?
Well, we're coming out with our Extra Añejo, 4 years in the barrel. And, I like to say 12 years in the making, because in reality, that plant was in the ground for 8 years. And I think sometimes we kind of lose appreciation for that.
From field to glass is a long journey.
Yeah. And what some people forget is when you harvest that piña and it's 50 pounds, whatever it is, you may only get 8 to 10 bottles out of that.
Yeah.
So there's an appreciation that needs to be had for the timeline for creating something like this. But listen, we're excited to get this thing out to the market. We did tease it several months ago at an industry event, and the response was phenomenal. I mean, we had people, signing up for to be on the list to purchase pre-order. So,
and this is something that pre-order, this is coming out from your team pretty soon, starting this week, and people should start to see this available around March 1st. Is that correct?
Yeah, we'll have it available on our website for purchase, and then this will hit the market in 5 states.
Okay.
Texas, Florida, Illinois, Tennessee, and California.
And like I said, this is going to start to roll out. People have an opportunity to pre-order this. Make sure you're going to the website. We'll make sure everyone knows what that is to pre-order this, and they will ship it to you in the near future. 4 years. 4 years is a long time to place your Blanco in these barrels, and you just wait. We see XAs that are usually going in that 3, maybe 3.5 year range. How did you guys land on 4 years?
Just played around with it. We tasted it at 3.5. We liked it. Let's see what happens when we leave it for a full 48 months.
Did you lose a lot for Angel Share? Did you, as you're going through barrels, was there some loss?
Yeah, there's significant loss there. And that's another reason why we, you don't want to let it go too long, because what's the return? Does the flavor enhance that much when you're losing a percentage over time?
Yep. So
when you think about, because we're added it free, you put it in a barrel and you wait. I mean, you're just, honestly, you're just kind of waiting.
Yeah.
There's not much you can do. And then when it comes out, okay, let's see what we got.
Let's talk presentation here. We've got this darker color bottle. It goes so well with the golden tones of this liquid. And your bottles, I love, you've got some of that liquid at the bottom revealing itself. And for something this special, you've got a beautiful golden box.
When we started working on the packaging, we were thinking, oh my gosh, we'll do this different bottle. And, we had different decoration applications. And then we kind of came back like, we've really got a cool bottle with our lineup. And I know a lot of brands do something different with the Extra Añejo. We kind of said, we love this bottle. Let's just make it special with an Extra Añejo. And we came up with the green color, and that was a year and a half process, believe it or not, because we were looking at many different things. The guys from Midland helped out. I mean, they're very creative guys. They had their input. So we landed on that color, and to your point, it goes well with the color of the liquid in the bottom of the bottle and the gold flamingo and label on the package. So excited to get it out there.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is super exciting. I know we've talked about this. I knew this was coming, and to be able to try this and to be able to discuss this has been exciting. While I was going, hey, we've got to get you back on the show, because people are going to love this XA on the palate. This is rich and creamy. I get some chocolate or, cocoa. There's a little cherry there. Some of that spice that you said with that añejo, that starts to come through here. 4 years in the barrel. There is some oak here, but it's not overdone at all. I mean, this continues to hit the DNA of your entire core lineup. We've got some agave here. This is not, if oaked out, if you're a whiskey lover, just like the añejo, this is something that you will sip on. I'm not pouring this over ice. I'm sipping this neat room temperature and experiencing all these flavors. And this really is a real treat. So congrats on this Extra Añejo. I mean, the color alone here, and I'll post photos and things like that once this launches. But the color alone is just spectacular on this Extra Añejo.
Thank you. We were pleasantly surprised with what we what we ended up with. And listen, you're basing it off of a Blanco, which we love, so I'm just excited to get it out and share it with people.
Yeah, I'm sure you, Alberto, the entire team, you guys have got to be so pumped. Again, waiting that time from field to bottle, field to glass, going through the entire process. When you make batches of the Blanco and then go, hey, we're going to set aside X amount of barrels or liters of this Blanco to put in these barrels. And then to your point, you just wait. You just wait without fully knowing. I mean, it's like, hey, I'm going to go on a trip. I'm going to start driving and I don't fully know where I'm going, because you could get 2 years in and go, hey, let's try it. No, it's not doing what we thought. You get 3 years in and you start to play this time. Like you said, hey, when is the best time to pull it? And so for you guys at the end of 4 years to have something that is this delicious and just in line with what Insolito is, has got to be pretty special for you and Alberto.
Oh yeah. We brought our team together in December, and it was actually our first corporate meeting as a company, like because we're all over the country, right?
Yeah.
So I had everybody come into Chicago, and at the end of the meeting, we all tasted it, and they were just like doing somersaults, waiting. When are we going to get it? I'm like, well, we got a couple months. We're getting close, but.
And then you got to work through that whole process of getting the bottles, getting everything, the box, the presentation. I mean, all that does take time. And, you know, you mentioned before, if out of another country and things like that, there's a lot that goes into getting this final presentation in front of us, which I'm excited for people to see over the next few weeks.
So limited release. We don't have a ton of product. It's gonna come in. It's gonna get sold out, and then we're gonna reload. I know. I wish we had more, but we'll have more. We set aside more for that'll be ready in 25 and so on.
Is that just a balancing act of, you know, hey, we've got tequila in barrels that we need to have some for Reposado, for Añejo, and there's, you know, I get that there are invoices that come in for all of this. That's sort of just put stuff for 4 years takes a long time. But is that just as you guys, you know, any of these tequila companies, you guys have to look at it and treat it this way to go, hey, this is what we can set aside for 3-4+ years. And you've got some more, you know, there's going to be a next round of it. Is that kind of what the thought process is?
It's all money, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, you're putting aside, you know, you're investing money in this liquid in a barrel, and then you're hoping that, okay, after 4 years, God, I hope it's nice. Hope we like it. So, you know, if looking back, I probably would say, God, I wish we would have set aside more, but you don't know. No regrets. We've got, like I said, we'll have more for 25 and we'll expand markets with it. But it'll always be somewhat limited, I'm sure.
Yeah. And look, and I love that you guys are, you're a real brand. You didn't just go to the distillery and say, hey, what do you have that's been in barrels that we could launch with a Blanco, Repo Añejo, and Extra Añejo day one? I mean, you guys have had to take the time to come out with these expressions when they are ready and available. And so, again, this brand, Insolito, you guys have done such a great job with this. I love seeing the growth, for you guys to continue to grow. I do know, you know, this is a new year, exciting time for the tequila industry. In addition of this XA, what else does Insolito have in store for 2024?
Well, most of our energy and efforts for 2024 are going to be supporting our distribution. Like I said, we went from 13 states to 31 plus two countries. So a lot of our time and energy is going to be really driven into getting into working with our distributor partners, getting into the right accounts, not every account, the right accounts where we can support and do some really good business. We've got some events that are very unique to us that we're going to be doing. Landlocked was the one I previously mentioned over Cinco de Mayo in Texas. Our partners at Midland are putting on a cruise.
Okay.
They've got a Midland last resort cruise that will go from Miami to the Bahamas. 3,000 people on a cruise ship for 4 days with a lot of Insolito tequila.
Hard to beat
and
that.
Some fun supporting bands. So we're giving away prize packages to that in 10 markets. You know, we've got the Extra Añejo that will be hitting the market in March. I tell you what, we probably won't be doing a Cristalino, I will say.
Okay.
Nothing against that. We're not going to innovate for the sake of innovation.
Yeah.
I don't think that varietal is going to fit with our core consumer. You know, we're also working on some cool merchandise that we will have for sale on our site
Okay.
as we try and continue to build the brand.
Yeah.
So it's going to be going to be a lot of blocking and tackling, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But excited for this year.
A lot of hard work, maybe a little cruising, and a lot of Insolito for 2024. Exactly. No, I love it. Pete, thank you so much for coming back on the show to update us and to share this new XA. People can go to InsolitoTequila.com to learn more about the brand, and hopefully very soon they'll have the opportunity to order their own bottle of this delicious Extra Añejo. Pete, cheers. Congrats on this Extra Añejo. It's delicious, and I can't wait for more people to try it. Salud, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Doug. Thanks for having me.
See ya. That was Pete Kelly with Insolito Tequila. Well, the wait is over. You can go to InsolitoTequila.com and pre-order the brand new Extra Añejo that will release in March. A big thanks to SipTequila.com for sponsoring the show. I'm Doug Price, and thanks for listening.